WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. An organizer of the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in August 2017 is found in civil contempt of court. Governor Northam tells business leaders that he does not want to make any changes to Virginia's right-to-work law, and a preschool food drive in Harrisonburg has a dual purpose, helping migrant families and teaching children how to help others. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, November 26th. An organizer of the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in August 2017 was found in civil contempt of court Monday. The judge ordered Elliot Klein, who uses the alias Eli Mosley, to answer questions, hand over his telephones, and turn over social media passwords in the civil case. Hawes Spencer with VPM News reports.
Despite serving as the rally's communications director, Klein claimed in court Monday that an inability to access email accounts stopped him from supplying court-ordered information. Legal analyst Scott Goodman.
Some judges would have already put him in jail.
Goodman suspects that Klein's high profile has prevented stronger measures.
The judge doesn't really want to make this man a hero or a martyr, so to speak, so that groups can complain that the courts are engaged in a political prosecution. That's not what this is.
The judge set a deadline of December 2nd with a warning that jail is an option if Klein hasn't complied by then. In Charlottesville, Hawes Spencer, WMRA News.
Here's a story we've been following for a few days now. Augusta and Rockingham counties will consider declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries at their board meetings in December. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports that a handful of local governments across Virginia are considering similar resolutions which vow opposition to what some see as an unconstitutional infringement of Second Amendment rights.
Rural Virginia doesn't think much of gun control, and a handful of local governments of Virginia are approving resolutions declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. Charlie Watts is a member of the Campbell County Board of Supervisors who introduced the resolution declaring his county a Second Amendment sanctuary.
We should not be infringed upon our Second Amendment rights, and whether it becomes a resistance or whether the other counties get together, that's yet to be seen.
If local governments really follow through on defying state law on guns, the resistance would obviously be challenged in the courts. It's a model Democrats used to protest the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration.
I gather some conservatives are starting to think that sanctuary cities are good for me, but not for thee.
That's Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington. He says it wasn't all that long ago that Republicans were on the campaign trail warning against the perils of sanctuary cities.
And now the sanctuary city conversation that Republicans found so problematic is something they're employing themselves.
The politics of gun control is expected to be a key feature of the upcoming General Assembly session, when Democrats are expected to pass sweeping new gun restrictions, like closing the gun show loophole and allowing local governments the ability to implement stricter gun control measures. Michael Pope.
Governor Ralph Northam told a group of business leaders Monday that he does not foresee making any changes to Virginia's right-to-work law. Northam said he was proud of Virginia's recent ranking by CNBC as the best place to do business and its AAA bond rating.
And I do not foresee Virginia taking actions that would hurt these, including repeal of the right-to-work law.
Some of Northam's fellow Democrats hoped to repeal the law, which they say is designed to weaken unions. Business leaders say the law helps the state stay economically competitive. Virginia could raise hundreds of millions of dollars in new tax revenue if lawmakers choose to legalize casino gambling in a few places. That's according to a report presented to lawmakers in Richmond on Monday. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has more.
Depending on the tax rate, the net state revenue could be anywhere from $83 million a year to more than $500 million. Members of the legislative committee that heard that report did not greet the news with enthusiasm, but instead suggested caution. Here's Republican Senator Tommy Norment.
I'm of a persuasion that Virginia needs to move deliberately, but listening to your presentation also is whether or not we're going to need to try to move incrementally because of the complexity of the issues.
Those complex issues include what rate to tax casinos at, how companies should be chosen, and whether to implement a program to help gambling addicts. That's a concern for Republican Delegate Kirk Cox.
The problem gambling piece has always given me a tremendous amount of pause. and the effect that it has on families.
Lawmakers are considering allowing casinos in Bristol, Danville, Norfolk, Portsmouth, and Richmond. If state lawmakers and local voters give their approval, researchers say it will take 4 years for a casino to open. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
The governor's office has written what could be the final chapter in a case that has sparked controversy for more than 30 years. After months of review, Governor Ralph Northam says he will not pardon Jens Searing, but the 53-year-old prisoner will be paroled. The woman, convicted as an accomplice to his crime, will also be sent to her home country, as Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
Jens Searing has not spoken with reporters since the news leaked that he had won parole. In an earlier interview, he told Virginia Public Radio he would prefer a pardon, but would be satisfied with a favorable decision from the parole board.
My case has been very heavily politicized, especially these last few years. At this stage, I just want to go home. If that's by parole, I've certainly earned parole. It would simply be a recognition that I've served without incurring any institutional infractions and showing every sign of rehabilitation, having gone through all the programs that they've asked me to go through.
In recent years, Searing discovered that DNA found at the crime scene came from two other men, never identified, and he found proof of an FBI profile that pointed to Elizabeth Haysom as the killer.
Today, I think anybody who looks at it with a halfway objective eye can see that I didn't do this crime.
But it appears the parole board was not convinced and did not recommend a full pardon for Searing. As a German citizen, he will now be sent back to his homeland, and Elizabeth Haysom, a citizen of Canada, will also be deported. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Hausman.
Finally today, in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, a preschool food drive in Harrisonburg takes a different approach to helping families in need while teaching children how to help others. WMRA's Bridget Manley reports.
It's an early morning in the hallway of the Young Children's Program, or YCP, at James Madison University. The preschool has been collecting non-perishable food items for about a month for migrant families in Harrisonburg. But this food drive is a little different. The groceries are displayed on tables resembling a makeshift grocery store, and parents and kids are given a box to decorate and then fill with foods.
Can I carry? Sure, I can carry. Do you want to put some salt in there? Or some beans or rice?
Each child gets a sheet with the number of family members and the ages of the children. Then the kids shop for items based on what they think each family needs. It's the YCP Grocery Store, the brainchild of administrators at both the YCP and the Shenandoah Valley Migrant Program, and it's in its second year. For both organizations, the food drive is invaluable. Migrant families receive boxes full of food during the holidays, and the preschoolers feel more connected.
I think it teaches the children about being part of a community and how do we contribute in that community. It teaches them about sharing. It teaches them respect for other people and just that ability to see beyond their own little worlds.
Pat Kennedy is the director of the YCP. She says the idea of a grocery store for preschoolers to pick foods to give to others fits perfectly into the curriculum at the YCP, where fostering community goes hand in hand with real life experiences.
And this month we're working on Dr. Ken Ginsberg's 7 C's of resiliency, and the C for this month is contribution, right? I matter, and I can help other people and make a difference. So this is a real good hands-on experience for the children, seeing that they do matter and some of the things that they can make a difference in their community.
The kids at the YCP love filling their boxes. They get to pick out a variety of foods, sometimes making up the names of foods when they don't recognize them.
So we put in some of these.
What are those?
These are kind of like raisins, and they are, but they're seed raisins. And you can eat them too. And my mother put in some cereal. That's yum.
The grocery store idea pairs well with the primary mission of the Shenandoah Valley Migrant Program, which is to help migrant students here obtain education. SVMP works with families who have moved to the area in the last 3 years and helps with tutoring, literacy programs, interpreting, and other services. Olga Baltazar is a family advocate for the SVMP. She works with families that have children ranging from infants to high schoolers. She says that the need is great during this time of year, especially when children are out of school for extended periods of time.
So I would say like the challenges and why we're doing this is that families are used to like, oh, my kid's going to go to school. It's going to give food from there. But then on Thanksgiving break or Christmas break, students are home. But then the parents are still away at work. They don't have like healthy snacks at home. They don't have someone to cook for them. So hopefully with this help from the YCP program is that we'll be able to provide a pantry box that they will last them for a little while. And then there'll be healthy items that they don't necessarily have to cook.
Nancy Resendez is the Family and Migrant Coordinator with the SVMP.
Yeah, definitely. They're really appreciative of it. And I know that some of our kids whose moms work night shift and aren't available, the kids just run through that because we go back and see them during, like before we go out for Christmas break. And the kids are just running through these items like super quickly because they're not in school, so they're having to eat. So I know they appreciate it and I know they're using it. And so that's, I think, what's most rewarding for us, knowing that they have something and that they actually are using it and they appreciate it.
We need to give migrant families foods because they don't have enough food.
The preschoolers seem to be learning the lesson of giving one colorful box at a time. For WMRA News, I'm Bridget Manley.
You can learn more about that partnership between the Youth Children's Program and the Shenandoah Valley Migrant Program at WMRA.org or through the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your Tuesday.